Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
LCO on BTR with your host Onyx. This show is a production of Lady of the Circle in the Oaks, a Corellian proto temple in Thomasville, North Carolina. After the show, we invite you to click over to ladyofthecircle.org to learn more about us. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show. Out there in listener land, I want to thank you and you and you and all those who are listening either live or in the archives later on, no matter where you come in from, whether it's here on the blogtalkradio.com site in the chat room live with us, whether it's on the Facebook links where you don't have access to the chat room, by the way, you're missing something, whether you're on the TuneIn Radio app or you're downloading the archive later from the iTunes store, I want to thank you. You had a choice, and you chose to spend your time with me, and I'm grateful. My name is Onyx. I'm your host here tonight for LCO on BTR. Lady of the Circle in the Oaks is a proto-temple that is located in Thomasville, North Carolina. As you heard in the intro, our website is ladyofthecircle.org. I invite you over there to find out more about us, find out all the projects that we're involved with. One of the things that we were at, or some of us were at today, in support of, was a wonderful event that was put on by Path of the Moon Collective in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, just about half an hour up the road from us, next county over. It was their first event doing this. Earth Path Pride Day was held there at Yesterday Village at the Dixie Classic Fairgrounds in Winston-Salem. The committee that put this together did a wonderful job in putting it together. Wonderful area that they selected for it. Yesterday Village is all the buildings in Yesterday Village are old buildings. They're like plank buildings, log buildings, things like this that were disassembled and brought into Yesterday Village and reassembled. So they're all authentic. Very nice place. Nice choice of venue. Had a lot of vendors out there, some performers out there. More than 100, I would say, constantly there in that small area, well, not small, but semi-small area. Fun time was to be had by everyone there. We had live steel, a European martial arts knights fighting out there. There was a demonstration, raffling, there was singing, there was drumming, there was a kilt contest. So hopefully they'll put another one on next year. So if you're out there in listener land anywhere nearby, to this area, if you know anything about Path of the Moon Collective or any of the people that are running the show down there, or up there, I guess I should say, encourage them to do it again next year. And if you missed it today, you really missed a good time. I enjoyed myself. Everyone I talked to enjoyed themselves. So yeah, great job, guys. Really great job. Really appreciate being a part of a community like this and the entire community pulling together and enjoying each other's company and friendly and family fellowship. It was nice. It was very nice. From one of my other projects, International Pagan Radio, which you can find at internationalpaganradio.com, we had a couple of new artists that will be on the playlist over there. So they're local area here. They're wonderful artists. One group, Viva La Vox. Another group, Whiskey Christie and the Half Pint Orchestra. Give me a few days and I'll have those up there. I'll have those up there running so you can hear those wonderful folks. So, yeah, if you're in this area, if you're in the Triad area, hook into the community. You can find me on Facebook. I'm Chuck Chapman on Facebook out of Thomasville, North Carolina. You can go to my website, LadyOfTheCircle.org. You can find a link to Path of the Moon Collective there. Get hooked in. It's wonderful to be a part of a community. Now, tonight, one more thing before I go on for the topic tonight. For those of you who are listening Wednesday night for this topic, craft names, and you came in expecting craft names, I was expecting to do this topic on Wednesday night up until about 45 minutes before the show launched, and something happened outside of our control, and we had to go with a canned episode. So for those of you that showed up that night looking for that topic, I apologize for the disappointment. But we're going to talk about it tonight. So, you know, what is a craft name? Well, a craft name is really nothing more than a nickname in a way, sort of. Where does the word nickname come from? That's something that I wondered for a long time, and I did some research to find out. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Geoffrey Chaucer, you might remember the term ickname, used in Canterbury Tales. Well, the word, the name or the term nickname etymologically came from that. Over time, you see, an eek name became a nickname. There you go. That's where it comes from. Eek meaning also or extra or something of that effect. So that's where that comes from. When we talk about it in a Wiccan context, that's generally what it is. It's a nickname. It's a name that you might refer to yourself as part of a circle or a tradition or a group. And the way I look at it, there's kind of three different types of craft names. There's names of choice, names of practice, and the last name would be like names of initiation. And we'll go into that in a little bit, what I see the differences of them are. But in general, the concept of having a craft name or a Wiccan name goes back to what is generally considered historically as early modern Wicca, you know, during the times of Gardner and his ilk. If you remember that during that time, it was believed that the Christian church had intentionally went after the Wicca, and they would do it again. So it was considered appropriate, safety, to have a craft name. And during that time, only those in a coven, you probably, I mean, you wouldn't even know the real name of the other people in your coven. Now, of course, the Lord and Lady of the Coven, the Summoner, people like that might know. But it was supposed to be for protection. If you came under torture, even under torture, you couldn't reveal information that you did not know. So it protected the other people in the group. Now, we know that all of those beliefs about how the Christians were, you know, the Christian church, Catholic church, was going after the witches of old during the Inquisition. We know that that's bogus now. We understand that's bogus now. But if we, in the time in early modern Wicca, that was very much believed. And it was generally because of the tribe of Margaret Murray and those who supported her incredibly irresponsible research. So from that mindset, you can understand why the craft name is so important. But in its traditional, over the last 50 years, 60 years or so, because remember that Wicca is really not that old. In the traditional sense, the craft name is only used in conjunction, or only there in conjunction with community. So in that aspect, if you're solitaire and you're not a part of the community, using a craft name is really irrelevant. It's kind of like, oh, that's cool, I want to do it too. It's really not relevant. The craft name in that context is only relevant in the context of a community. So, be that as it may, in the more modern, you know, the neo-pagan community and the Wiccan community, a lot of people will take craft names. And those that are just for choice, that simply because you want a cool name or you want a different name, those I would refer to as names of choice. Iglesias, absolutely, that's what I'm getting into right now. He's Iglesias, bless his heart. Love the man to death. He says irrelevant, maybe fun, definitely. I agree. And that's where I'm going with this. There's no need for the craft name if there's no community context. That doesn't mean we should not do it. If it's fun, if it's good, do it. Do it. Please, if that's the way I came across, that's not the way I meant it. I meant that it's not a necessary, because you're not trying to protect yourself or other people by the use of it, the implementation of it. So absolutely, name of choice, it's fun. He says, Glacius Frost, name of choice, I'm proud of it. Absolutely. it's name of choice is just that, because you choose to. You really don't need any other reason. You choose to. You want to. You don't need any other reason. But those are names of choice, and that's perfectly fine. Now, after that, another delineation or group, I guess you would call it, category of names would be names of practice. Now, the names of practice are names that would the names of practice are those names that we take on to reflect a spiritual context. They mean a lot more than just a cool name. They're still names of choice in a sense, because we choose them, but they're chosen more deliberately to reflect a spiritual context, a spiritual identity. You know, so those This might be a name that you take on at dedication. Chris, I'm getting there. Chris is talking about a new name given, passing trials, become initiate. Yes, that will be the third category that I'm going to talk about. Thank you for bringing that up. See here, people, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing half the show. Get in here to the chat room and talk to these wonderful people. We've got a few people in there, and get involved. If you're in the chat room, if you come into the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/CERN, if you do not have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free to get, by the way, if you do not have a Blog Talk Radio account and you are not logged into that account, you'll show up in the chat room as you'll show up in the chat room as guest. And if you're a guest, you can't type into the chat room. So there, you know, that's you should have a blogtalkradio.com account. Like I said, it's free to get. No commitments, no fuss, no muss. You can log in, and that happens there. If you do that, you can also log into any of the Blog Talk Radio shows the same way, and you know, in the same manner, and you'll be able to chat in the chat rooms. So yeah, if you haven't done that, and you come, you know, you want to come into one of the Blog Talk Radio chat rooms, please make sure you have a BTR account. So, you know, names of practice. It can, you know, it's a little more than just a name of choice. They're very similar to names of choice because we generally pick them ourselves. But the difference is the fact that these names are usually taken to represent a new practice. They're not just a representation of your likes or, you know, your desire to have a cool name. It's a little bit more than that. A lot of times these are taken on at dedication, you know, when you begin your walk on the magical path or whatever happens to be, whatever your path happens to be. So those would be names of practice. They're still, in a manner, a name of choice. A lot of people will take on a name of practice like this at a turning point in their life, a major turning point in their life. So the name of practice is a name that is taken, that you choose, that is taken for something more than just the desire to have a cool or scary name. The third category that I would list names in are names of initiation. Now, these are names that are given on the entry into a tradition. Now, we're talking about Wicca names, craft names, okay? They can be chosen. Usually, there's guidance from the tradition on what can and cannot be used, how it's supposed to be designated, things like this. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. Now, remember that in the way we're talking about it, an initiation is a formal entry ritual into a group or tradition, of course. And the names of initiation in some groups are a group decision. A lot of times, not necessarily so much anymore, but I remember at least, you know, about a decade or so ago, that your name of initiation was not chosen by you. It was given to you. It's kind of like, I guess the best way I can describe it is, you know, the elders of the coven or the initiator or whoever will choose a name that represents what they see you as. And that's the name given to you to represent you. Glacius, yes, absolutely. He says, being named by your new parent. That absolutely sums it up. In a lot of groups, that's exactly what it is. Your new initiator, your new elders of the covenant and everything, they name you. Being named by your new parent. Thank you, Glacius. Absolutely. It does sum it up. Thank you for the words. So, we talked a little bit about why, you know, what was the purpose of the craft names early in our Wiccan history. Well, early in our Wiccan history means like 60 years ago or so, so not a long time ago. And I can't stop reiterating that. Okay, Wicca is only about 60 years old or so, not that old. Okay, so anybody that tells you that their Wiccan tradition, now their pagan tradition may, okay, let's delineate that, their Wiccan tradition goes back to the dawn of history, doesn't understand what they're talking about. They may be well intended, and that might be their mythological history, but it's not the actual fact. People can say, well, that's your opinion. No, that's a fact. Now, some of the things that filter through to modern Wicca do date back to prehistory. Yes, indeed. But Wicca did not go that far back. Know what you're talking about when you talk stuff like this. Okay. So, you got to remember that Wicca is an initiatory mystery religion. Okay. And in its early stages, in its infancy, taught that it was a religion that was thousands of years old. Or, in some cases, a new religion that was very heavily based on an ancient religion that was pushed to the point of extinction. So, historically, well, at least last 50, 60 years or so, the use of these names was absolutely, absolutely intertwined with the myths of the early modern Wicca. Those stories that, you know, about the Inquisition and burning times and all that, it was very much intertwined with that, because that's what was taught during that time. So, it's, how do I put this? So, it originally started with, a lot of people will say, well, it started with ceremonial magic. Well, no, not exactly. Because in ceremonial magic, we have the tendency, in ceremonial magic, we tend to over-identify ourselves with the universe, absolutely over-identify. If you've ever listened to some of the rituals and how some of the charges, you would absolutely understand that. It's kind of comical when you sit back and look at it from an outside point of view. So the practice of having that small one-word, two-word name does not come from ceremonial magic. It comes from the myths that were intertwined in the early Wiccan movement. So it was primarily, at that point, it was almost predominantly, almost exclusively a Wiccan practice to have a different name that's used in the community. It spread like wildfire, because it's cool, it's fun. It spread like wildfire throughout the rest of the magical community, almost the entire rest of the magical community. So, remembering that in its infancy, Wicca was an initiatory mystery religion. I don't know why I can't talk tonight. So if you consider that, you got to understand that early in Wicca, the membership to the craft in that manifestation was limited only to those who had undergone the initiation rite. And, of course, advancement through the degrees was limited to those who went through the mystery rites indicated, you know, for that level. When during the initiation rites, the person, you know, agreed to abide by the rules of the group. And, of course, in return, the person received divine knowledge that was reserved, you know, for only for group members. During this bestowing of knowledge, the knowledge of the divine, was also when they received their craft name. And this was at that point, this was a secret name that was only supposed to be used within the group. So, in some lines, you'll find that once a person reaches second or third degree, that they will receive another, you know, a second degree, a secondary name, a third degree, a tertiary name, as they build through the degrees. But a lot of times, these names were secrets. Sometimes, like I said earlier, they may only have been known by the highest of elders, the gods, and, of course, the person who has the name. We got to look at it like this. In early modern Wicca, in the early days, this craft names, Wiccan name, served three basic purposes. First, of course, we've already talked about it, it kept the secrecy within the group. You know, we talk about that, and we, in our myth cycles, in our myth thoughts, in our myth stories, we say that the secrecy of names is how witchcraft survived the trials, the burning times. You know, because like I already mentioned earlier, you know, if you don't know a person's name, you can't call the person's name even under torture. So you're protecting your covenants by only using the craft name. Let me think about it. You know, there's no proof at all that this is true. Absolutely no proof. But, you know, of course, it's intuitively true because it's something that we know would be true if it had actually happened. So, I'm sorry. Is my cynicism showing? In addition to the secrecy there, the protection, the privacy, the craft name also lends a sense of equality in the group. And this becomes even more obvious why, you know, you don't bring your names and your titles and things into the circle. Now, if you remember that Wicca started out as a British thing, as an English thing, you can wrap your mind around why this was important a little bit more. Because you've got title-bearing lineages in Great Britain, the lords that are part of the House of Lords, the landowning barons, these things, they're linked to their names. So they have a higher social status than those who were not named, those who were not linked to aristocracy or landholders and things like this. there was a separation, there was a social stratification. So in the covenant environment, those names went away. And when you stepped into that circle, you were all equal, regardless if you were a peasant or a landholding lord or lady. So that's another reason, the second reason why, that it was used, or that it was used in early modern Wicca. So these names also represent the person with the name that has experienced a mystery. You can know that. Yes, we will. Well, I'll talk about that in a little bit. Glacius talks about the craft name being used as an effective key in ritual, for ritual mindset. Yes, absolutely. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So the third reason I was talking about for this, which is early modern Wicca, is that they represent that the person holding that name has attained a certain mystery. Remember that those of the first degree or the initiates would have one name. Those of the second degree would have two names. Those of the third degree, three names. So you could tell by the name at what level they were. So, early modern Wicca. Three established reasons for the craft names a long time before it became, how do I say this politely? I can't. Before it became a New Agey fashion. There was a reason for it. They assured privacy and protection from the perceived force that is out to destroy Wicca. It made all the coven sibs equal. And it also indicated that a person had participated in different mystery rites. So, if that were the case now, if we're using it historically, those were the reasons for it in the original sense, right? So, why would, if those are the three main reasons for a craft name, why would a solitary need a craft name? They don't. They don't. Absolutely do not. There could be arguments made about protecting their paganism identity or their pagan identity from those who could make their life uncomfortable, parents, coworkers, clients. And for that, I can see. For that, I can see it. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to do it for that reason, and that reason alone, you need to make sure that you don't link your given name to your craft name in any way. Because if people want to know, they're going to find out. So if it's used for protection or privacy, for that matter, and that means, then certainly make sure they're not linked. So, do solitaries need one? No, but as my friend Glacius there mentioned, it can be used very definitely as a ritual trigger, and you know, to help you get to that ritual mindset. So with that, I'm going to pull us to a stop, and then we're going to come back afterwards, and we'll talk about, you know, things like what about the law of names? And we'll talk about how some traditions choose their names. We'll talk about how to go about choosing your name, you know, what you need to do and to get your craft name if you haven't gotten one already. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, play a little bit of songage. I'm going to play a song by Darth the Bard that is very moving for me. It's very, very touching for me because it's very deep. I want you to consider the words of the song as you're listening. Now, this is Darth the Bard, and the song is Only Human. Following that, we will do our normal peace prayer. We will also do some station business. We'll have a rejoin, and I'll be back on the other side. I want to thank you for continuing to tune in. And, yeah, here's some music. Enjoy.
It's only human. there is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power. And as such, I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. By my will, so mote it be, and it is so. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
You're listening to LCO on BTR on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. This is Onyx talking at you. Remember, as I always say, it's just me talking, just a simple witch, a couple of spells, a couple of potions. That's about all. My opinions are good for just about nothing except for planting that thought seed and letting you think. So we'll talk about why or what is so important about naming in magic. Well, understand that it's not just in magic and magical traditions that knowing the true name of something has power. I mean, consider, this is nowhere near new. Consider that in the Jewish tradition, the name of God is too holy to be spoken or even written with all of its vowels. It's generally written with four consonants, Yod, He, Vav, and He. And, of course, you've got some Christians that will render that as Yahweh. And then, of course, you've got some that shuffle it around and really toast it and call it Jehovah. But be that as it may. Suffice it to say, I guess, that magically and religiously speaking, names are believed to have power. Consider this in the study of demonology. A lot of the study of demonology is centered around learning the demon's true name in order to gain power over it. There is even a scientific linguistic research and study about this respecting the possible relationship between the spoken word and the object that it's referred to. This, by the way, is called phonosemantics. There's actually a linguistic science to that. Now, you know, some people will say that there is no such thing as sound symbolism, and some people say there is. Believe the way you wish, believe the way you were led. But my point is that this is so, the whole concept is so intrinsically embedded in the way we think that there is even a scientific linguistic arena for that. Photosemantics, knowing the true name of something, gives you power over it. So there's plenty of different ways that some traditions will choose names. Some of them, you know, will choose by virtues or what they see represented in the person, you know, virtues or vices sometimes, what they see in the person. I won't say it won't happen. I will say that I've never heard of it happening, that a initiatory name, an initiation name, is just randomly plucked out of the air. It means something, either in relation to the person or in relation to the way people view that person. So, there are all kinds of different ways to choose a name if it's not chosen for you. The reason why I'm doing this is because on so many different occasions, it seems to be coming to a head here lately, that I just keep getting asked, you know, people that don't have a tradition, well, what do I do? What's the best way to choose my name? And I guess I would have to say the best way is whatever way allows you to have a name that you're comfortable with and that means something to you and has no negative side effects. You know, sometimes people in the craft community, there's a small sector of people in the craft community that like to name, that like to take names, you know, craft names, for people that were killed for witchcraft. Well, let's consider this for a minute. If you believe that the dead are aware of the living's thoughts toward them, this is a very strong double-edged sword. On the one hand, these names, you know, when you're naming, taking a name of someone who was killed for witchcraft during, you know, the Inquisition, during the Burning Times, this name assures that the person killed, who were killed unjustly, are remembered as having been killed unjustly. On the other hand, these people, remember, almost all of them are Christian, and a lot of them, many of them, belong to radical sects of Christianity who were only slightly less aggressive in their Christianity than the Christians who killed them. So, they're having what they would consider evil witchcraft done in their name. How do you think that'd make them feel? Consider this for a moment. Imagine that you were killed for being female. Even though you were male and had no hint of femininity whatsoever, you were killed simply because your neighbor convince people that you were female, despite all the evidence to the contrary. Would you, if you were capable of being aware of what was going on after death, would you want people naming their daughters after you? How about holding you up as a shining example of feminine virtue? I don't think you'd like that. And you can put the gender roles the other way. I just chose that way to illustrate. No negativity no negativity toward either gender implied. But if we're going to name ourselves after people who were killed for witchcraft during what we call the burning times, you would think that we would want to make sure that the person that was killed was actually a pagan or actually a witch to begin with. But that's just simply not true. Simply not true. If you have any questions about that, write to me, revonicshp@ladyofthecircle.org, or you can go back in the archives and find where I've already discussed that topic as well. So you gotta understand that that's probably not a good idea. All right. Well, what about naming yourself after a deity? You know, if you believe the deities have control, and if you believe some deities actually punish pride or over pride, you know, hubris, would you not want to name yourself after a god? Be like inviting someone to step on you? Think about that. Now, as with all things in the craft, please approach your name, choice of name, your name, very carefully. Ponder it. Sleep on it. Think about it. You should. These things, I think, in the bottom line, these things you should be aware of and keep in mind when you're choosing your craft name. You need to accept that finding the right name may be a long process. And you need to accept that it's better to go without a craft name while you're making the choice rather than throw something in there in the interim. Don't use a craft name until you know that the craft name that you chose is right for you. Because, I mean, if you're not using it for the community, if you're just using it privately, you know, if this craft name is meant to be a secret between you and the gods, please, rest assured, the gods are going to know who you are regardless of what name you use. There's no rush. And if you're using it for community, consider that if you start going about touting yourself as whatever, you know, a blue monkey, whatever. You're touting yourself as one name, and people get used to that, and then you finally find the name that you're going to settle on, that really your true craft name, the craft name that you're going to use. Now they've got to retrain and reconnect who you are. So instead of making one transition from your given name, your legal name, to your craft name, now you've put them in a position where they have to make two transitions. They have to make a transition from their given name to that temporary stopgap pagan name that you knew you were going to throw away anyway. that you knew you were going to throw away anyway. And then now they got to make the change again to the craft name that you've chosen to represent you. So you're throwing extra ballast. You're causing more trouble than what you need to. Because remember, you don't want to change names Well, if you want to be known, you don't want to change names. If you don't want to be known, then yeah, use a different name every time you go to circle. And that's fine. You also need to consider that your craft name should not be an expression of just one aspect of your personality. Unless, of course, you're talking about the spiritual side, and that encompasses all anyway. But, you know, if you're a NASCAR fan, you know, and you want to call yourself in the craft community NASCAR fan, that doesn't sound like it would work. It doesn't sound like it would fit. But just follow me on this example. You're going to call yourself NASCAR fan. Well, that defines you. So if everybody gets to knowing you as NASCAR fan, what happens down the road when you don't want to be associated with NASCAR fan anymore? Because you don't like NASCAR anymore. Your favorite driver did something crazy or something, and you don't like NASCAR anymore. But that's still with you. You're still a NASCAR fan to everybody that knows you. Consider that before you choose a name based on a hobby or an interest of that sort. You also should never choose your craft name based on what reaction you feel it will make happen in another person. But you should understand how your name might be regarded by the community. And there's a big difference between choosing a name for effect in your community and choosing one that will communicate something about you to your community, even if it's the same name. The concept, the way you arrive at it, and the reason for it is different. There are plenty, plenty, plenty of different techniques out there to explore for choosing names. Some people say that you should use numerology. And I say if you use numerology in your normal practice, then if you don't use numerology in choosing your craft name, then you're always going to feel like something's missing. But if you have to learn numerology in order to get your craft name and then you quickly forget numerology, what's the purpose? Because numerology doesn't meld with you anyway. It doesn't mean anything to you anyway. So I put forth the effort in that respect. So, once you have found your name, or in some traditions, it's found for you, take the time to make absolutely sure you understand what the context of its use is supposed to be. If it's meant to be a name used anytime you're wearing the mantle of Wiccan, then use it appropriately. If it's meant to be a name that is shared only with the larger community of pagans and Wiccans, there again, use it within that community. If it's meant to be a secret name, only revealed to members of your tradition or to your coven or inner circle or whatever, then use it appropriately. And in closing, I want you to understand that you need to find out from people how they expect their name to be used. Because if you know the person's legal name and you know their craft name, and you don't know whether they're out of the closet, the broom closet or not, then never discuss pagan happenings using their legal name. Because somebody might hear it, it gets back, they have trouble. There's a reason why they use a craft name in that situation. So, yeah, I mean, that's what craft names are all about. We spent an hour talking about them and dissecting them. Where did the word nickname come from? What is it used for? Three different ways that it's generally used in the traditional sense. So, but it all comes back to, if you're going to choose a name, choose wisely. Because that's going to be a label that you have to carry for a very long time. So be very carefully. Think very careful about where and in what context it's going to be used when you make the name. So in closing, I want to remind you to go over to ladyofthecircle.org, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I want you to remember that we are evolving. And I challenge you and you and you and, yeah, you over there hiding behind the sofa, I challenge you to be involved as we evolve in all things. May you blessed be.
Thank you for listening to LCO on VTR. We hope you've enjoyed the show. You're invited to ladyofthecircle.org for more information about our organization. In all things, may you blessed be.